Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. I'm Christy McManamy with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, and I have the privilege of filling in for Chris McGowan this morning. First and foremost, on this Saturday, we want to thank our producer, Justin Barker of Powell Broadcasting, for all the hard work he does all year long. And of course, our longtime sponsor for this segment, Chris Bogenrief of NAI United Commercial Real Estate. Our guest today on Grow Siouxland is a special one, an Olympian, an American record holder in the 1500, a world record holder, and the reigning USA track and field champ in the 5000. And in September, she finished fourth at the World Championships, Shelby Houlihan. Welcome to the Grow Siouxland program, Shelby. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And I also should say, an inaugural member of the East High School Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that as well.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very honored and excited. Yeah,
celebrating the 100 years of East High School. So I'm sure great to see everyone back in Sioux City.
Yeah, definitely. I don't get back here very often, so it's exciting.
Well, we are excited to have you back in the studio today to celebrate lots of different things. And as we always like to do on Grow Siouxland, thank you for taking the time to join us. And we want to start things off by talking a little bit about your family, because you did grow up here in Sioux City.
No, I was born and raised here. And yeah, my family's all from here as well, like aunts, uncles, grandparents. So it was fun growing up here because I like grew up with my cousins, and like we would go to the lake. We have a lake house in Okoboji and just spend the summers there. So yeah, I have a lot of really great memories.
And you have a big family, lots of sisters, brother, and mom and dad.
Yes.
Bob and Connie.
Yeah, there's seven kids all together, and we're all very close. We have a family group chat, so I get to try to see. It's hard to get us all in one place, but every once in a while we can. We have a very big family.
I love that. And often they travel when you compete, which is fun.
Yeah. In Tokyo, just back a few weeks ago, I had three of my sisters come, my mom, one of my mom's friends. My boyfriend came. So it was like, I think it's a good excuse to travel and like also be supportive. I appreciate them all coming too. It just makes it a little more fun.
Absolutely. And when you come back to Sioux City to visit, what are the things that you are like, I have to go do this? What are the Sioux City staples that you have to do?
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's going to Bob Rose for wings, Wing Wednesday, definitely. Like, I don't know, I still can't find wings like that anywhere else. So that's
You've traveled a lot of places,
yeah,
so that says a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have to come back for that.
How did you start in running?
Yeah, I mean, mostly it was just following my mom around. Anyone that is from Sioux City probably saw her running around the streets. And so I think like growing up from an early age, I saw that. I started running the little cross country races over in Riverside Park and like when I was five. And then following my mom around on her long runs in the car, and then graduating to that and actually running with her on some of her long runs. I was around the sport. My uncles have a timing business, and my sister ran, so I think it was just kind of growing up around it and always had that dream from a really early age that like this was something I felt like I was meant to do.
And your mom, Connie, was a competitive runner, and I always hear this great story about how when she realized at one point that you guys were in the same race and that you were the one who were chasing behind her.
Yeah, we spent the summers doing road races, and I think there was one in Orange City, and we were doing a 5K, and this was sometime in high school, but yeah, she always went out really hard and tried to run away from people, and then she like could hear someone behind her, and she's like, oh, I thought I dropped everybody, and she looked back really quick, and it was me. So I think, once I started trying to catch her, it kind of just took off from there.
A little extra motivation with a mother-daughter competitive nature there, right?
Definitely.
So high school at Sioux City East, track and cross country. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. I mean, going to Sioux City East, like my whole family, but basically my whole family went to East as well. So that was just kind of cool. But yeah, I think high school was fun. It was hard at times. I think I had struggled. I was just painfully shy. So I did like had a hard time branching out and making friends and stuff like that. But I always felt really at home on the track and cross country team. And I felt like I could be myself there. But yeah, I you know, worked hard, put my head down, and I had a fairly successful high school career, and that was really fun, and it allowed me to get a full ride scholarship to go to college at ASU.
And I watched you a few times when you were in high school running. Very fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Very fun to watch in races. And your teammates always speak highly of you, that you were the calming force. You know, anybody who's ever run track before knows that sometimes, like, when you're lining up for a race, that's, you know, the butterflies and mm-hmm. everything. But they always said that you were the one who calmed everybody down.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, yeah, I think for me, it was all, it's always just kind of been like, this is fun. Like, this should always be fun, you know? And I think that's a huge factor in why I have found success, is I've always tried to have fun in that process.
And you ran at Drake quite a bit, obviously earned your way to Drake relays and to the state track meet there. Is that one of those special places for you to run?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I got to go back to Drake relays this year, and it's just, every time I get to go back, it's almost like being transported back to high school in some ways, where I'm like, oh, like lining up for the 4x4, and the nerves are like still there. It's still such a great stadium. I have so many awesome memories there. So anytime I get to go back is like just awesome. I really love it.
And I know you still have some records from Drake.
I think I might.
which is awesome. Which is awesome as well. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM. I'm Christy McManamy, filling in for Chris McGowan today with my guest Shelby Houlihan, and we're talking about running, some experiences growing up in Sioux City, and talking about those experiences at Drake, which then led you to the collegiate level at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us why Arizona and the things that you were excited about there.
Yeah, I visited a few schools, but I think just going to Arizona, it weirdly felt like home. Like, I'm not a cold weather person, even though I grew up here. Like, I was like, I want to go somewhere really warm because I'm running outside all the time. ASU is obviously a very warm place to go to, and I really liked the coach there as well. He felt like we were on the same page, like really believed in me and wanted to see me succeed. And so, yeah, I think I also just felt like I could be happy there, even if I got hurt or running didn't work out, or like, it just, I felt happy there. So that was a huge pull for me, and I felt like that was the right place. And I had a really great time there.
Well, and obviously you did quite well in the NCAA, and was it there that you realized, hey, I want to go do this professionally, or did you kind of know beforehand?
That was always the goal, was to do it professionally. I felt like I kind of had that goal ever since I started running. And then as I continued getting older and growing and finding more success, it kind of felt more and more real with each step. But yeah, I think my senior year of college, I had a pretty good collegiate career, and I was able to win an NCAA title my junior year. So I feel like I did everything I could to set myself up well to go pro, and I was really fortunate to, you know, like that was able to happen.
And going pro professional as a runner looks different than like a lot of people type of thing. So can you step us through what that process is, or what's life like as a professional athlete?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a learning process. I, you know, it's not like college where you get recruited to go pro, like, or like, yeah. And so I had to like kind of reach out to coaches, and I ended up reaching out to a few. I was talking to a couple teams, but Bowerman Track Club out in Oregon was really the place that I felt like I was gonna be able to like really see what my potential was. And I felt like if I don't go there, I might always wonder what I could have done. So that was, once I realized that, I think it was a no-brainer. But yeah, and then I ended up getting an agent, and then they were talking to different shoe companies. We were able to get a contract with Nike. So, and then that Bowerman Track Club was a part of a Nike group. So in order to go to the club, I needed a Nike contract. And yeah, like I said, was able to get a Nike contract, and then ultimately moved to Oregon and joined Bowerman Track Club.
As a professional runner.
Yep.
I love it. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your professional career, the Olympics and what the future holds for Shelby Houlihan. Once again, you're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. And now, celebrating 20 years in commercial property, the largest and highest producing real estate in Siouxland. Speak with Chris Bogenreve, President, Bo Bronger, Nathan Connolly, Lawrence Jensen, and Madison Craighead. NAI has your answers for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you. Celebrating 20 years. Learn more at NAIUnited.com.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM. I'm Christy McManamy filling in for Chris McGowan this week, and my guest today is the one and only Shelby Houlihan. We're excited to have you back in town and visiting a little bit about your career in track. And because we left before the break, we were talking about the training process. A lot of people do not understand what all goes into being a professional athlete. The eating, not only the training, the exercise, and like you're logging everything. So tell us what that schedule is like.
Yeah. On a weekly basis, I probably run around 80 miles a week. So averaging about like 11 or 12 miles a day. And that fluctuates. So usually Tuesdays and Fridays are like workout days, and that's going to be anywhere from like a 10-mile workout. Maybe it'll be shorter and more of a speed-based workout. But yeah, and then on the other days, it's easy running, but my easy days is still getting in roughly 10 miles. And then on Sundays is a long run, so I'll get in about 16 miles there. But yeah, and you know, trying to listen to my body as much as I can. So if I'm feeling really tired, trying to just kind of lay on the couch and recover, trying to pay attention to how I'm eating, trying to eat, you know, pretty clean. I make a lot of meals. I like to cook. But yeah, and also two or three times a week, getting into the gym, getting in about an hour of lifting session, doing massages, like, and not the nice massages. They hurt. They're not nice.
Deep tissue massage.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, getting in PT work as well on top of that. So it's a definitely full-time job. And when you're not working, you're trying to recover to prepare for the next workout.
Preparing for the 2016 Olympics in Rio. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, that was such an awesome year. That was my first year as a professional. I wanted to try to make the Olympic team. It had been a dream of mine since I was, you know, really young. But yeah, I think all year I was just trying to work as hard as I could to get there. I ended up a few months leading up to the trials writing on my mirror, like, I will be an Olympian in all capital letters, so that I could look at this and see it and say it to myself every single day. And that kind of helped build that confidence to feel like I could make that team. And I was able to play second at the trials, which is awesome. Made the Olympic team. And yeah, I think I got to go with like pretty much all of my teammates, all my friends, because they made the team as well. So it was just a very special time. But it was hard to line up. And, you know, my best time was about like 30 or 40 seconds slower than maybe some of the top competitors. So I just tried to go and, you know, do as the best that I could, and I was able to place 11th overall, which was awesome for my first time. But yeah, you know, I want to continue trying to make those teams and seeing how well I can do and improving on that.
So in 2016, you were considered young in the Olympic world.
Yes, that first year as a pro,
which is amazing. And we had the Siouxland Chamber sponsored the event back here in Sioux City.
Yeah, I remember that.
We were watching the all of those things. So it was fun to have the entire, you know, convention center filled with people cheering you on.
Yeah,
so.
And I felt that support and love as well. And it meant a lot.
Let's come up to when you're preparing for the 2020 Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then you get notified of a positive test. Mm-hmm. For what?
Yeah, for nandrolone. Yeah, because 2020 was a COVID year, so it ended up getting postponed to 2021. January of 2021, I received an email that I had a positive test. I tested positive for nandrolone, which I had never heard of. So it was, yeah, and then once that happens, I think there's a big misconception of like, oh, there's like a big investigation, and they try to figure out. It's not really the case. It's then on the athlete to try to figure out what happened. So like, you're basically guilty until you can prove that you're innocent, which is very hard when you don't have answers. So yeah, we did our best to try to figure that out. And, you know, I felt like the only explanation we could try to find was a meal that I had eaten the night before that test. And we did our best to try to prove that, but ultimately we weren't able to. And then I was banned for 4 years.
Which had to be devastating.
Yeah, it was definitely like the darkest period of my life, because yeah, I had been doing this since I was five. Like, this is who I was. I was Shelby the runner. And so I had to figure out who I was without this anymore.
Yeah. So explain, because this, I can't even say it, whatever, nandrolone. Yeah. And you said you had to look up and figure out what it is. So it can be found in pork, correct?
Yeah, it can be found in pig offal. The place that I had eaten that the night before had served pig offal. So that was like really the only connection that we had. We were, you know, testing other things, testing vitamins, nothing was coming back. It was the only link that we had. So we were just like, okay, we need to do everything we can to try to prove that this is maybe where this came from. Well, I had to go back and like create a food log, because like I was looking through text messages, iPhone locations, bank statements, receipts, whatever I could find to try to piece together what I had eaten the week prior. I think we were able to create a pretty accurate food log, especially for that the couple days before. But yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. And so 4 years, a 4-year ban takes you out of 2 Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of COVID. I mean, normally those 4-year bans are designed to take you out of one, but because COVID pushed the Olympics to 2021, it took me out of 2. And they did give me a plea deal, I guess, if I admitted guilt that I had cheated, that they would shorten my sentence to 3 years, which would have put me back in Paris. But I did not cheat, and I didn't feel like that was the right call. So I just tried to do my best to prove that. And, you know, I think I can live with the 4-year ban knowing that I didn't do anything than taking a shorter sentence just because, but I know I didn't cheat or nothing. That's not something that I would have done. So
let's talk about the impact of that ban. Because 4 years, the last 4 years to get to where you are today, how did that impact you mentally, physically, and what did you do to overcome some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was extremely, I guess, transformational, not always in the best ways. You know, it was very hard physically to train. I had to train alone for 4 years. I couldn't train with people. So that was really lonely and isolating. You know, mentally, it was trying to figure out who I was without this and rediscover who I was. You know, I went to therapy just to help give me some coping skills to get through this. I was just really depressed and suicidal. So it was a really dark time. And then financially, you know, I lost my only source of income. So I was trying to like make ends meet that way. It cost me about $250,000 just to defend myself against this. And I still lost. So it was, just all around physically, mentally, financially draining. And it was really difficult. But yeah, a couple of years into that, I ended up kind of figuring out like, okay, I want to put myself in a better spot when I do decide to retire. Like, I don't want this to be the end of my career, so I'm going to keep training. I did train for 4 years through that. But yeah, I ended up going back to school. I got my master's degree in sport and performance psychology because I like the mental side of performing. I think it's a huge piece of that, and I want to help other people get the most out of themselves in that way.
Absolutely. In the last 4 years, because I know, I wish we had more time on this, you've not only grown as a person and an athlete. At 32 years old, you went out and won at USA Track and Field in August. In September, you led the race for the World Championships, came in fourth, but you led that thing.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have been working on that all year, right? It's like I wanted to come back and just do everything I could to put myself right back off, like get right back to where I left off. And yeah, the gun went off. That was not the plan to take the lead, but I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'm going to try to run fearless today. And tried to squeeze down the race and run away from people, but you know, got outkicked the last 400, missed a move that I, you know, next time I'll try to make sure I get, but it's like anything, it's just a learning moment too. And I'm really proud of how this year went and that I even had the courage to lead the race and try to take it.
If you could leave a young or leave a word of advice for a young person who's listening to this, or anybody who's listening to this today who has been at their darkest times, and to see you come back and do this at 32, what advice would you leave them?
Yeah, I think, you know, at some point, like not, I guess like not being a victim of the circumstances you're in. You know, I could have chosen to sit in my bed and retire and like move on with my life. And I just didn't feel like that was the right call for me. It was hard because I didn't have any control over my life at that point. And so I tried to look at things and like, okay, what do I not have control of? I can't control that I've been banned. I can't control what people think about me. I can't, you know, listing out all those things. And then I also listed out, okay, what can I control? I can control coming back, and I can control training and going back to school and setting up my life. And so really coming at it from a view of empowerment rather than being a victim of the circumstances that I was in. It's hard to do. It's not easy. But if you can find that will to move forward and find some power and get your power back, I think that is extremely motivating and powerful.
And whatever the future holds for you, whether that's the Olympics in 2028 or whatever you have planned in the future for you, please know that I speak for a lot of folks in Siouxland who are cheering you on and excited for you in whatever you choose to do. So congratulations on that comeback. Was quite the statement.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Statement to the haters that are out there. Yeah. And it's great to visit with you and hear your story. And thank you for coming in and sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Shelby Houlihan. Once again, on this week's Grow Siouxland program, right here on KSCJ 1360 AM, 94.9 FM. Once again, Christy McManamy filling in for Chris McGowan, who will be back next week on Grow Siouxland. From all of us here at the Siouxland Chamber, have a great day.